I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, episode 53. The off week is ending, and the St. Lawrence Saints come to Boswell Field this Saturday. Remember, that's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So we were just talking before we went on the air. You did get a chance to do some dad stuff and just take a little step back during the off week.
Yeah, it was great, especially for our guys. We worked hard in the middle of the week. We gave them a long weekend, and it combined with fall recess here, which is one of the few times it's in my career where it's timed up where we've had both the bye week and the fall recess at the same time. So they had a little bit of break from classes. So guys, if they chose to, could get home, see family, see loved ones. Sometimes they went and visited a friend, went with teammates. Hopefully a chance to reload, come back, revitalize, refocused for the second half of both the semester for the guys, but also for the second half of the season. So, and for coaches, some time to get out and recruit, talk to families, loved ones, and for those of us that have kids, really kind of be fathers fully unplugged for a couple hours. And it was great to do that with the family. And I think that's always refreshing for us to be able to do that as much as, we're busy during the season. We've put a lot of time in towards our current players and all that, just trying to have that life balance to be great fathers and great partners as well.
And it's a little odd the way the scheduling sets up this year. The whole league had the week off.
Yeah, finally, just the way that the number of teams in our conference, I pushed for that when they brought the proposed schedules out, was just, in the past, sometimes alternating bye weeks, some teams get advantage over the others. This one, it's truly everyone is on the same playing field, and I think it makes sense. And again, it was all based on the number of teams in our conference to be able to do that now.
So how's the injury situation? I see there's one defensive player out, new, but are some of the walking wounded a little better now?
Yeah, yes and no. Unfortunately, a lot of our injuries are either season-ending or much longer. That's the nature of it. I think in years past, we've had injuries, but they haven't been as many like season-ending injuries as we've had. For one point last week, between just some things that were happening off the field for our guys, I felt like bye week was still beating us, where usually we want to get ahead of the bye week. But I don't know, we might get one or two guys back, but unfortunately we've lost some along the way. So I think at this point in the season, I don't know how much the reinforcements are going to come. And challenge the guys yesterday in practice, it's now about like really focusing on those sophomores, some juniors, but really sophomores and first years, that like this is your time. You can't wait. And I think some guys were waiting for their opportunity. And again, you look all across the field on offense, defense, and special teams, we've had numerous opportunities for guys to step up. I think some guys are waiting. I said that, we got to go take advantage of the opportunity. So hopefully some of the guys really heard that. And I think that, again, we got to ride the guys with experience, the guys that know it, the guys that are performing the best. But at the same time, the challenge has been the depth and being able to keep the cohesion that you have throughout practice, knowing that each week, like we had two starters out yesterday that like couldn't go at key positions where it's affecting cohesion, it's a challenge, no doubt about it. And the staff's trying to work with our guys to both build confidence, but build that continuity we need. And, it's a slippery slope on, rotating, not rotating, keeping guys fresh, keeping, we play more than most. And in some ways that helps us, but sometimes it hurts us if guys are moving parts, we don't quite have that same type of cohesion. So I think we did a really good self scout and eval of like what we've been doing well, what we haven't been doing well, to try to, focus on the strengths and try to reduce the amount of negatives that we had coming out of that first half of the season. And hopefully that'll show out this week as we get to be back on Boswell Field, which it doesn't seem like we've been there much this year. So it's going to be good to be back there, and hopefully, more importantly, perform at the level that we think we can perform at.
You lost at Union 33-16. I thought I saw in that game building blocks that can start this team on the road from where you are to where you want to be. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think the I want to say frustrating. It's just like the point that really the start of the game. I mean, we and I say this after the game, and I take a look at it, and I'm always careful what I say to the guys right after the game because the emotion of the moment. But our best players need to be our best players. And in the first half, they weren't. Like, we have an opportunity to get them off the field, potential pick six, a couple fourth down stops, and They were our seniors. They were our juniors on defense, some of our more trusted guys that missed out on some opportunities. You know, on offense, we're moving the ball, you know, a junior and a junior, like just foolish little mistakes that like are ending drives that should equal points. I thought we should have been up 14-0. Instead, we're down 14-0. And again, I think by the time we started to like dig in and show some, you know, like you said, building blocks, there's definitely some positives to build off of, but we gave ourselves a deficit, and it allows the other team to stay in the run game, which, you know, was able to lean on our defense. You know, and again, especially where we had some of the injuries, you know, some younger guys need to step up. I don't know if we tackled as well as we need to, and I think to their credit, they made a couple plays on offense that, you know, normally we would stop them. And I look back on the offense side of the ball, every time we were close to making it, you know, a one-possession game and whatnot, we were the ones that kind of, like, shot ourselves in the foot. So, inevitably, that's what I say. Our best guys have to be our best players. Knowing that there's been changes, knowing there's been depth issues, but from the point of attack, I don't know if we really won the line of scrimmage in that game as well as I would have wanted to. You saw in terms of being able to protect the quarterback and running the ball. And until we can really start to rectify that, I'm not sure like if we're going to put ourselves in a much better spot other than not falling behind early. And I think that's what we did the last two league games compared to the beginning of the season. We fell behind early, which just changes the game plans a little bit as you get to halftime and you're down two scores versus if it's a tie ball game, if we're ahead. And again, knowing that we haven't been playing perfectly, we got to do a better job of truly complementary football to make sure that we can play for four quarters the game plan that we want to play.
On your first series, 10 straight runs, 4 first downs. You were cruising down the field before that fumble. Number one, what made you think you could do that against them? And number two, how did you do it?
Honestly, that's been the game plan. I mean, it hasn't deviated too much. Early on, we want to establish the run. Anyone that knows us knows we'd like to do that. We had a couple plays that could have been passes, but based off of the look we were given, and they stayed back. They were more of a bend but don't break in that first series. It was what we wanted to do. It was like, you know, I think maybe the lowest gain was like 3 or 4 yards. But it was like not huge clips, but positive plays. You know, 3 running backs got in, got touches. I thought we were doing exactly what we wanted to. We're getting right to that high score zone area. And on a 2nd and 5 play, a pretty, you know, mishandling of the football. Something we literally practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it came back. And again, not only is it a bad that we don't have the right read, but as we're trying to pull it, not only we can't recover it. You know, so just that alone, and then, you know, again, the way that our defense started, I thought we had a couple stops. We almost, it goes through our guys' hands. It could be a pick six going the other way. They get the catch. We don't get the stop, so 7-0. We still felt like we were going to go down, our second drive go down and be able to score. 2 really negative plays from 2nd and 3, to then set up a 4th and, you know, short, 4th and medium, and I wanted to get the points at that point. And, you know, now it's a special team play on guys that we trust taking points off the board with the blocked field goal. So those are the things. It wasn't just one offensive play. It wasn't one defensive play. It wasn't one special teams play. But when each one of those now gives away a play or two, that's a swing of 14 points early in the season, early in that game, that could have, you know, just changed the way that second quarter plays out and then the third quarter. And I just think our guys were pressing a little bit in the third quarter trying to get it back to that, you know, one possession game, and every time we did, we couldn't get an answer on the other side of the ball. So I think the O-line was better in the run game than we were in the pass protection, so that was part of the thing to try to help them simplify the game plan early. And you know, again, I would have liked to see a greater execution so that we could have stayed with that all the way through. But you know, we still tried running it all the way into the fourth quarter. Just eventually the time and number of possessions starts to count against you.
I thought down 16-0, your guys really dug in and competed. Now, I know you'll say, I wish they'd done that at nothing-nothing. But in their place, you know, big crowd, the huge tailgate scene, they're woofing and doing their usual thing. And I thought the guys just sort of dug in and said, we're not done yet. And you made it 16-10 at one point, and then it just kind of the wagon fell apart in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it was, you know, I told the guys afterwards, that's the way we wanted to compete. We didn't do that 2 weeks ago to the way I thought we could. And I think that was more of a, you know, a combination of some of the injuries that happened in that game and just the momentum. But regardless of the score, we were going to keep fighting. And I think that's a testament of some of the older guys that have that competitive pride to say we're going to keep fighting and battling. No doubt you want a better start to the game so we don't dig ourselves that hole. But again, I think there's some positives to build off of that. And as we move forward, you know, and again, hopefully this week we can get off to a stronger start. You know, starts are always a big thing. And the last two games, we haven't gotten off to strong starts. And it's not so much, lack of preparation. I think it's a lack of execution. And again, our best guys have to be our best guys. And what I mean by that is if you're a best leader, go be a best leader. If you're a best physical guy, go be a best physical guy. If you're a great guy in execution, and every guy like needs to understand like what are their strengths are and play to those strengths. And I don't think we've done that the last two games. And I think part of that comes from the cohesion piece. But I do believe, and that was been our focus in the bye week here right now, is just like we've spent a lot of Hobart versus Hobart. You know, it was about cleaning up what we need to clean up and really try to reinforce the confidence of how we play. I think sometimes when you don't get the results, you start to – it's easy to question yourself. And there's a lot of people that will question versus being part of the problem solver. You know, everyone can point out negatives. Everyone can point out mistakes. I think it takes a stronger individual, someone with resolve and grit to really say like, all right, we're going to fight through this and we believe in the standard. We believe in the process. And those are the guys that we're going to try to put on the field on Saturday are the guys who are committed to, you know, being a problem solver versus pointing where there's might be some mistakes and some errors.
And when you're losing, do some guys step out of their zone and try to do too much and try to make the perfect play and you have to rein them back in and say, no, you do your 111th?
Yeah, I think that happened a little bit on defense against the Union game. Like, you know, defense is all about fit and knowing how you fit into either a rush scheme, a zone concept in the back end and coverage. And there was a couple times in the run game we had guys in the right spots that then all of a sudden one guy is trying to do something that they're not supposed to do, and that opened up a gap. And there was one or two times where we had guys that needed to show up and make the tackle that weren't in the right spot, or there's some guys that, you know, were going through a block destruction and didn't fall back into their gap. And I think that also happened. There was one time on offense, on pass protection, like one guy's trying to go make an extra play, but like take care of what you need to do and trust that your teammate's going to do the same. And again, when momentum is going your way, it's easier to trust that process. And when it's not, like I said, it's going to be a really good testament to see what type of young men we have, because, you know, I think there's a lot of built-in excuses, as we talked about last time, but I think more importantly, those are factors. More importantly, like, you control our response to these factors, and I want to see our guys continue to fight and battle, because, again, I think we're a good team that hasn't had some things go our way versus a bad team, but at the end of the day, it's about who you are and how you perform and what we're putting on video, and I think that's where I've challenged our guys is, like, go out and play with, like, the confidence that you had at the beginning of the season, and you're going to start getting the results you want versus starting to question, you know, some of the things that – and I say the things they're questioning is, like, you know, tackling, blocking. It's the stuff that they've done for 1,000 reps, but all of a sudden now, like, every single step feels a little bit more insurmountable. So it's trying to instill the confidence this week that we can go out and play the way we want to play. Again, a lot of this has been regardless of opponent. Those first six games, I felt like Hobart has been our biggest competition more so than the opponents we're playing. And that's a little uncharacteristic, in my opinion, of the teams we've had in the past. So we want this team's identity to really come out to really play to our standard, play the level of football that we want to play. And again, if we make mistakes, make them really aggressive, fast, like mistakes that we can learn from versus tentative mistakes.
We got probably our longest extended look at Jeremy Weiss this season. 12 out of 20, 234, hit the deep ball. Where is he, and where does he need to grow as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jeremy's are really highs and lows in that game. Like, there was a couple key moments where he missed some throws or missed some protections. He is much better, navigating from the pocket when we can protect him. I think there was times where there was breakdowns and protections that were not his fault that unfortunately, you know, he's not going to be able to, his best throws are going to be from the pocket than it is going to be from out of the pocket, where we've had some other quarterbacks over the past that have been able to improvise and extend plays and different things. He can do that, but he's 100% going to know. And I think that's where, you know, I put a couple things on him is just like watching video the next day from that game. I think each time he gets reps and experience, he's logging some memories that are going to like help him that next time he's in those moments. So, know, I think True and Jeremy are different quarterbacks. I think there's different ways that we'll have to navigate the offense with them. But I think Jeremy stepped up in that game and the ability, especially when we fell behind, to throw the ball downfield when we needed to. But again, I would like to be more balanced than we were in the second half. And I think a huge part of that was when you're down two or three possessions is just mathematically how many times, how much time is it going to take for us to navigate down the field and score. And then really we missed a couple really bad opportunities to, and I think of the 2-point play, like the false start, like that's the stuff I need more command from the unit and the quarterback to, in those moments, get everyone on the same page and go. And those were the couple things that I've challenged Jeremy, I've challenged True, I've challenged the quarterbacks to really just maximize the confidence in those moments so that we can get 11 guys on the same page. Because there's a couple times this year, because of the continuity at that position, that's affected some of our execution at key moments. We practice those moments. They need to carry over. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now needs to carry over to Saturday. And you can say what you want. That's what really good performers are going to do, and that's the challenge. And I think the guys are excited for that opportunity to show that they can do that on Saturday.
Two things defensively. One is last year's defense was very disruptive. Tackles for loss and the linebackers flying in. We're not seeing that this year. This defense is on pace for about half the number of tackles for loss. Is there a particular reason you see that you're not as disruptive as you've been on D?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes from who we graduated at linebacker. You have some pretty special guys, some guys that are, and not to say that our linebackers can't do it, but that's the position on defense that's probably been the most challenged with injuries. I think the second part is the flow of the games. Last year, when you're playing with leads, teams can't do what teams are doing to us right now. Especially lately, teams are just trying to go really tight, max, like try to put body on body and hitting us in the run game. So we got to hold up better in the run initially and get people in more passing downs. And I think if you look at last year, that defense, when we were really good early on, it was a lot of aggression, really going. When you look at the Susquehanna game in the playoffs, the difference in that game is we didn't get as many tackles for loss because the line of scrimmage and they were a heavier run team. So I think teams that run the ball against us defensively, yeah, you can get tackles for loss, but right now between our D-line and our linebackers, we have to trust each other and they're fit a little bit better, and people have to perform a little bit better than we're doing right now. And I think the challenges of what we've graduated and those, I mean, you're talking some big time performers at some of those linebackers, you know, you got five of those guys, four of them were all conference guys that graduated, you know, in terms of Defense Player of the Year, Jamin Bliss, Anthony Romano, who's like a rocket all over the place. Vinny had a really good year, and obviously Cash. We graduated some pretty significant players. Now Mike McGee's returning. I think Mike's been playing well. Obviously, with playing with the cast and doing the things, he's still playing as hard as ever. But it's going to be harder for him to sometimes use his hands and block destruction. And our other linebackers are doing well. But we've also had a couple season-ending injuries to that position. That I'm hopeful that you know, you might see someone come back at the linebacker group and step up. But I think it's a combination of both those two things. I think it's schematically what teams are doing against us. And honestly, we need some younger guys as they get more experience to play a little bit more aggressive. But I say linebackers, it still comes down to that defensive line, defensive front. Bill Brasco showed some moments in that game. I think he can play at a really high level. We've had inconsistency in some of the other end positions. I think Hunter Voss has been playing as our most consistent defensive lineman. We rotated a bunch. We were playing four-man fronts. We were trying everything we could, but it's a collaborative approach in terms of what our defensive front can do, and I think that's one of our goals this week. They've had a really good week. I'll tell you this, going against our defense this week, our defensive line, they look like All-Americans going against us. So I know that's partly because of the injuries we've had at O-line, but I think they've had a really good week in response, and hopefully that'll show up on Saturday.
Speaking of McGee, did they explain how he was able to grab the face mask with a cast?
Yeah, how about that one? Huh? Interesting, I know. So pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
So it's probably a lot of the same factors, but last year you were among the best in the country, red zone D, and this year you just haven't stopped anybody in the red.
You're absolutely correct. We were better in the score zone offensively last year. Right now we're not getting as many sevens. We're getting either stops or field goal attempts. And last year we were getting stops or forcing teams to make field goals. And a huge part of that goes to stopping the run. When you get closer to line of scrimmage, or excuse me, closer to the end zone, it's harder and harder to throw the ball in. So you have to run it in just because of the pass zones. Everything's shrunk down. And really good teams, I would say great teams score and kick extra points. And great defenses find ways to get stops. and we just haven't been able to do that to this point as consistently as we would like. And again, that's one of the focal areas. Last Tuesday, first day coming out, we did a score zone period. The focus of is our offense scoring against our defense and our defense getting stops against our offense. You know, we did spend a lot of time preparing for St. Lawrence, but again, I think a lot of things we've got to clean up are Hobart-based more so than just opponent-based at this point. So that's what the bye week can sometimes give you, is more time to focus on areas where maybe just give a little greater attention to detail in those areas or focus. And it still comes down to our players got to make plays. You know, we as coaches, we're going to try to prepare them as best we can, but we're putting either units, combinations of individuals or people out there that we think can perform in those roles. Now they have to trust the opportunity when it's there, go shoot their shot and go play with some confidence.
The other thing that you haven't been as successful, I don't think, this year is special teams in general. You're giving up more yards and returns, and you had some good returns earlier in the season, but that was a hallmark of last year's team, was field position through special teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on the things we're seeing. We've seen that there were some setbacks, and again, I think Toby had a fantastic year last year. I thought Vicente, those two were special as specialists. And we've graduated some guys, but to me, it's been the injuries. And we just saw, I just literally came from a meeting talking with our special teams coordinators on, like, how can we bolster up some special teams to get maybe some of the guys that normally were on those special teams, but we had to take off either because of injuries or because of injuries that now, you know, I think of some of our senior linebackers that we've been trying to protect, and not say that they don't ask off. It's just, we're trying to get enough reps and keep them fresh so that, you know, the Mike McGee's and Noah Chacharays and some of those guys that were on special teams a bunch the last couple of years, well, they're taking so many reps at linebacker and different positions. And so it's a fine line of, like, playing your best but also making sure you're giving younger guys an opportunity. It's been a staple of our program, is finding that happy medium where we can not have a setback because we're rotating more guys in, at the same time putting your best guys out there. And I think the injuries, especially coming out of the IFCA and RPI game, have really affected the special teams. And that's where we've had a significant drop-off on our kickoff return, to the point we had to change our formation on kickoff return because we had, I think there was a stat, I was talking to one of our special teams coordinators, that we had like 15 guys who had gotten reps at one of our fullback positions. 11 of those 15 were out.
Wow.
So, like, think about that position alone.
Oh, yeah,
over some course of the season. So it's like, so we actually had to change the formation going out of, this was 2 weeks ago, that we're going to, you know, we're trying to, again, keep it simple, but still be effective. But with all the moving parts, especially the last 2 or 3 weeks, I 100% agree. And I don't feel great about it. We're going to try to, you know, strengthen that back up. But I thought we've taken a step back in a couple areas, special team wise, the last couple of games. And again, those were some of the reasons why we were in close games and could have and should have won some games early on. It's going to take all three phases, and I think some people, it's easy to say, well, you didn't score here, you didn't get a stop there, but special teams is a huge part of that. Vicente needs to go back to being special. We need to make sure we're doing great in coverage on both our punt and our kickoffs. Our return average was giving us better field position. Like, all these things play into how you win a game over 60 minutes, and I really believe in it. I just don't think the last 2 or 3 games we've been as consistent in those three facets as we need to be. And, you know, that's on us as a staff and as a team to make sure that we are taking steps back to playing the level we want to play at.
St. Lawrence comes in this Saturday again. It's a 1:00 kickoff for this game at Boswell Field. It's the Ability Partners touchdown and tackles game. They're the parent organization of Happiness House and do a lot of great work. You've had good success with St. Lawrence over the years, but here comes a quarterback in Will Lederman, who's the closest thing to Patch Flanagan this side of Schenectady.
Yeah, he is. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We come off of a game preparation where you know that their quarterback is going to be their leading rusher. We knew that going into Union. To his credit, Patch made some plays, more so probably with his feet than even in his arm. He made a couple key throws when they needed to throw it on us, but his ability to convert and obviously we helped him, you know, perform really well in that game. I'm sure St. Lawrence is looking at the same thing and trying to figure out, like, you know, a senior quarterback with experience that can throw and run. You know, I'm sure they're looking at saying, hey, we're going to have a similar game plan. They got some big receivers to throw it to. They're solid in terms of running the quarterback. Not to say they don't have capable running backs, but he's going to be their leading rusher. They're going to keep the ball in his hands as much as possible. And it's not just design quarterback runs. It's the ability to drop back and protection and, I think that's where Patch had a couple key runs, is sometimes where, like, we got to have rush integrity like we had earlier in the year to kind of bottle up some of those quarterbacks. And, I think the ability to have a quarterback that can run is dangerous, both design runs and the ability to scramble or to create on their own.
One thing about Lederman, he's been sacked a lot. You haven't brought as much of the big blitz this year, and I'm sure that has something to do with the injuries as well. Is this a guy that you feel like you really need to try to go after?
Yeah, I mean, the issue we're having right now is on the back end, putting a lot of young guys in coverage. We've lost some key leaders on the back end right now that have changed a little bit how we need to play. We've been more productive, honestly, with some of our zone pressures than man pressures, but I think we'll carry different type of pressures into the game. I think the difference with St. Lawrence, similar when you're playing from behind at times, they've been behind in some of the games where teams can pin their ears and go. I think that's going to be a huge part to this game plan, is like which team can get a lead earlier. As we saw, like, we're better when we protect the quarterback, when we're playing with the lead or when it's a closer game, than when we're behind, and same situation with St. Lawrence. So, they move the pocket pretty well, so to help protect that offensive line. They do a lot of nakeds and boots and play action stuff where they're going to try to sprint him out of the pocket. So we have to do a really good job trying to keep him contained within that. But I also think it's going to be a mix between, just our base fronts and, inserting some linebacker pressures to hopefully get to the quarterback, make them uncomfortable. And then there will be times where we need to bring more than they can defend and place a man on the outside and see how our guys can go up and cover. They have, a couple bigger receivers. They do a pretty good job in those 50-50 jump ball situations. So there will be opportunities for our corners and especially some of our younger safeties to make some plays. And again, hopefully they can make those plays and stops when we need them to.
If you're going to run the ball against St. Lawrence, you got to move their nose tackle in the 3-4, Aiden Hayes, 320 pounds.
They are big inside, and in the past, like, you'll see, they have their edge guys are going to be a little smaller, quicker, but they've shown the ability. There's another guy that we think we're going to see. He's not in the 2 deep, but he's a 280 pounds. So they go 320, 280 in the middle, and then really two captain linebackers that are their top two tacklers that do a great job, because those big guys hold up the offensive linemen to be able to get their two linebackers to the ball. They insert their safeties, they bring safety pressure. They're doing a lot on the back end to mix up the coverages. So, Jeremy and True and the quarterbacks are going to have to do a really good job at navigating the mixed coverages looks, where the last couple teams have kind of been more standard coverages. But I do think to run the ball, they're going to add the plus one, and then they're really big inside. So it's going to be trying to navigate our matchups on which old linemen can match up well inside and where we can get a double team, or where either tight ends or running backs can help out on some of those bigger bodies.
Have you talked at all, or will you talk about trying to win out and get to 5-5, or do you even care about that, or are you just looking at one game?
We absolutely care about it, but the only thing we focus on right now is the 1-0. I mean, it's easy to talk about. I think the reality was, when you lose the close game and open up the conference, it was still early in the conference, and then, like I said, we haven't performed as well as we needed to the last two games. So mathematically, we know we're, being the conference champion is going to take a whole lot at this point. More importantly right now is I want our team to play with a competitive pride that matches what these guys signed up for, the standard and tradition of what this program's about. And I don't think we've delivered on that the last 2 weeks to the level that I know we can. So this week it goes regardless of the opponent. I know some people are going to take St. Lawrence lightly. We are not. I think they're a very capable team. They've shown it. And honestly, the areas that they're strong at are the areas that we need to do a better job at. So, we've had some dogfights with them up there, and especially the last couple times they've come here. It's going to be a game where we need to perform really well, but we need to go get our 1-0. And honestly, like, play well at home, gain the confidence back, to know how we need to play. And then if we're fortunate enough to earn that 1-0, then we'll put the focus on the next week. If we play really good football, we'll have a chance to get there. But I want, more importantly than anything, than the record, I want our guys to perform the way they know they can perform. And we haven't done that. And that's, like I said, that's one of the things as a coach, one of the things we put our pride in and invest, we put a lot of time and investment of our own personal selves into these guys, is to see the reward of these guys believing in themselves and playing up to their potential and oftentimes exceeding their potential. And I make it very clear, I know there's been challenges thrown our way. I know some bounces haven't gone our way, some calls haven't gone our way, but more importantly, we still control how we perform and how we respond to those situations. That, to me, is the number one thing. And, you know, whether it's a dogfight of a win, whether we play really well for 60 minutes, which we haven't pulled a full game together yet, if we can get our 1-0, then we'll celebrate that, and then we'll put our focus on the next week. But it's really dangerous right now to talk about, like, if we do this and if we, like, we got to go show we can do this this week, coming out of a bye week, being fresh, revised, and more important, refocused on competing at the level we want to compete at. And then I'll be excited to kind of see our guys play on Saturday. And then from there, hopefully you're going to see us trending the right way, coming out of this bye week and performing at the level that we know we can play at.
Maybe EJ can go for 520 and 7 TDs like the guy from Curry.
That was pretty impressive. I mean, that was
wow.
Video game type
26 yards a carry.
Yeah. And again, like, I think the level of competition we've played has been pretty good. So, like, yeah, obviously a lot of things got to go our way, but yeah, we got to perform pretty well up front to get those type of numbers, and I know EJ is capable of it. We would love to do that. Sign me up for that, please.
All right. This has been the Hobart Football Podcast. You can find this podcast wherever you go, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. You can get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Again, remember, it is the 1 o'clock kickoff now at Boswell Field. Back home in the Boz after the off week. And we're looking forward to it. Coach, thanks for answering the questions each week and informing me and the fans. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate all your time and support.